Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We are back, 622, 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Now, another perspective on today's Supreme Court ruling on the Affordable Care Act from John Freeman. He's the state director for Know Your Care, an organization dedicated to educating American people about the Affordable Care Act's life-saving consumer and patient protections. John, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Well, thank you, Michael, for having me on your program once again.
Chief Justice John Roberts joining the court's four more liberal members to make up the majority of the decision. How surprised were you at that?
I think most people were surprised. I wasn't necessarily surprised that Justice Roberts signed with the other progressive members of the board. I was surprised that he was the only one that did. I was somewhat expecting Justice Kennedy. But it just goes to prove that you can't make predictions about how the Supreme Court's going to vote. History has proven time and time again that those that make predictions end up being very surprised.
Now, one thing we know, that even with the health care law taking effect here in Ingham County, over 12,000 people will remain uninsured and millions more across the country. Why is that?
Well, first of all, we have to understand that there are major portions of the Affordable Care Act that haven't taken effect yet. They take effect in January of 2014. And the two key components that will reduce the number of uninsured in Ingham County is when the Medicaid gets expanded in Michigan, that's going to add thousands upon thousands of people. Currently, under Medicaid, in order to get health insurance of the state, you have to be extremely low income. But because of the Affordable Care Act, it's going to raise the income limits to $14,000 for a single adult and $28,000 for a family of four. Hmm. We think that of the 1.2 million people in Michigan, a large number of those will be able to get, you know, health insurance through Medicaid. So that's going to benefit, you know, the uninsured in Ingham County beginning in 2014.
Didn't the court, in fact, knock down that piece of the law, the expansion of Medicaid?
It didn't knock it down. It said that states have the option of whether to expand Medicaid or whether not to expand Medicaid. Under the Affordable Care Act, the way the law was originally written, that a state had to take the expansion of Medicaid, or if they refused, then the federal government could withdraw all current Medicaid funding. But so it's now up to states to decide whether to expand it. But we have to understand, Michael, that the federal government is paying for 100% of all the money for all the new people that will become eligible for Medicaid. This is our tax dollars that are being sent to Washington. And if the federal government sends this money back to Michigan, that means more of our dollars will be circulating in Michigan. So not only will more people get insurance, this will also provide an added economic stimulus to the Michigan economy, which is a wonderful thing. And I think Governor Snyder must accept the expansion of Medicaid.
You're saying there's going to be zero cost to Michigan or any other state that pursues expanding Medicaid this way?
For the first 3 years, with Medicaid expansion, the federal government pays 100% of the, of the cost.
And that does change
after
over time.
After 3 years, it then goes down to 90%. So it's a great deal for the state of Michigan. And remember, the money that we get back from the federal government to pay for this program, that's actually our tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting more of our money back that we send to Washington.
Now, as you know, the individual mandate was the key piece. Everyone was looking to see if that was going to be put through or not. Court approved it. How ineffective would the law have been had the mandate been struck down?
Well, it's my opinion that there's 1.2 million people in Michigan without health insurance. And the reason why they don't have health insurance is not that they don't want to get it. It's because they frankly couldn't afford it, because health insurance on the individual marketplace is so expensive. If you don't get it at work, you have to get it through the individual marketplace. So it was so expensive, and most middle-class working people simply couldn't afford it. So now that the ACA is going to expand Medicaid and provide tax breaks for middle-class families making between $28,000 and $88,000, it's now going to become much more affordable for individuals to buy insurance, as well as for businesses. So it's our feeling that there's going to be a huge number of people that are going to buy insurance, and that if the mandate had been struck down but everything else had been kept in place, again, more people would be able to afford to buy insurance. So we think that they would have gone ahead and voluntarily bought it because, frankly, it's the right thing to do. But Everyone wants to have the ability to see a doctor when they need to.
Sure, but what about the millions of Michiganians who have insurance through their work right now, are very happy with it, but may in fact face losing it if a company opts for this $2,000 penalty instead?
Well, first of all, the percentage of people that get insurance in Michigan through their employers, only 52%, and that's been going down steadily over the years. So more and more people were forced into the individual marketplace. But you're right. If a business, in beginning of 2014, if a business has more than 50 employees, they are required to provide insurance to their employees. And if they don't want to, then they have to pay a $2,000 per employee per year, penalty to the federal government. So this gives business the option to make it an economic determination of whether it's cost effective to pay the penalty or to provide insurance. The bottom line, though, is we have to understand the basic framework. Everybody in America benefits if everyone has access to health care. For employers, they benefit because their employees come to work healthier, therefore they will be more productive.
Let me just ask you one thing about the cost of the entire law. I mean, it's from what I understand, there are all kinds of numbers, but isn't there a potential that the entire Affordable Care Act can be a financial debacle when it's said and done?
The Congressional Budget Office, which is a nonpartisan part of the government that costs out the costs of various programs, has twice now run computer models that have said both times that over the next 10 years, the cost of the healthcare system will in fact go down. And that is one of the primary reasons why we need to pass this new law, is because healthcare expenses were going at a double-digit increase every year, and that we needed to find ways to reduce the cost. If everybody has insurance, they will not therefore be going to the emergency room and getting care. If you get emergency care at the very end when you're seriously sick, that is by far the most expensive.
Certainly the most expensive. About 40 seconds left. Tell me, it's hard to imagine the fight's over. Where do you expect the next major challenge to the law to come from?
Oh, I think probably Republicans will try and make it a campaign issue this summer. But the irony is that the Republican nominee for president passed the exact same program in Massachusetts as President Obama did. So I don't know how Mitt Romney tries to argue that his program was good, but President Obama's is bad. The reality is that what Mitt Romney passed in Massachusetts did in fact work, and that's why the federal government modeled the Affordable Care Act after what Romney did in Massachusetts.
It'll certainly be interesting to see how this impacts the election in November. John Freeman, State Director for Know Your Care. John, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Well, thank you, Michael, for having me on. Feel free to call anytime.
Absolutely. We'll be right back to talk about Google's I.O. conference. A bunch of developers, 5,500 of them meeting, looking at all kinds of new, exciting products from Google. But the CEO is not there. Why? You'll find out next. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to 1320 WILS.